You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
For some time now, we have been speaking in reference to truth. We have been dealing with truth. And as we have been dealing with truth, our primary scripture has been John 8:31-32, where Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. He said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so we have been talking about truth. We have been looking at truth as something that has creative power, the ability to change our lives for the better. We also looked at truth as being God's word, God's will, which causes us to always be progressive or to continue moving step by step. And how many have been enjoying the teachings upon truth, the teachings in reference to truth? How many have been seeing it better your life? Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. Notice the book of 3 John on this morning. 3 John is toward the back of the Bible this morning. 3 John, and we're going to look at verse number 1, and we're going to read down to verse number 4. And, of course, I have reading out the New King James Version, which happens to be small print, so I'm going to get some help this morning. 3 John, and notice verse number 1. The Bible said, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. His love for Gaius was in truth, it was genuine or sincere love. It wasn't phony love. It wasn't love in word only, but he loved Gaius in word as well as in deed. And so again, he said, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And I want us to understand this morning that when it comes to how we treat one another, when it comes to our love for one another, we also need to recognize that we need to love one another in truth, in word and deed. In other words, when we say to someone that we love them, it should be proven, or the evidence should be in our actions. Come on, somebody. It's time out for saying, I love you, yet the actions say something different. You're not loving in truth. And we are commanded to love one another in truth, or according to word as well as in deed. Now, notice what he says in verse 2. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Notice, when it came to the Apostle John, the elder, as he describes himself, he was pleased, or he was made happy, when he received the word that his children, or the brethren of the church, was walking in truth. It was pleasing to the elder, to the leader, that the people of God had not only received the word, but as Jesus again said in John 8:31-32, they were still abiding in what they had received. And I want to say to us as a church family, nothing makes a pastor more happy than to preach the word, but then to turn around and see that the saints are living according to the preached word. To know that people are, yes, going through things, but they have not abandoned the word. They are yet walking in truth regardless of what they go through. And you say, Pastor, how can you know that we are doing such? Well, when it comes to a shepherd, one thing God is going to do for a true shepherd is that he is going to allow the shepherd to know what's happening with the sheep. Because there's no way that the shepherd can lead the sheep without knowing what's going on with the sheep. Now, is that to say I know everything in your life from A to Z? Certainly not. Because there are certain things I don't know and I don't want to know. But when it comes to your well-being, as it concerns the things of God, God is going to deal with the heart of the shepherd so that he can feed the sheep. In turn, the sheep have to take the word and apply it to their life every single day. And because they were doing it, it pleased the elder to hear that the children or brethren were walking in truth. And so based upon all that, look at a neighbor and tell your neighbor, our subject this morning, walking according to the truth. Look at one more person and tell them the subject this morning, walking according to the truth. And let's give God a praise for the truth. Come on, let's give him praise for the truth. When I deal this morning with the word walk or walking, I want you to understand that it represents a person's life or a person's lifestyle. And so when it comes to our walk, again, I'm speaking in reference to our life or our lifestyle. And when it comes to our lifestyle, we need to be people who continue walking in the truth no matter what we may go through. No matter what we may be up against, we have to be people who abide in the truth. You cannot afford to allow anything or anybody to pull you out of the truth. Why is that, Pastor? Because we have a promise again that if we will abide in the truth, if we will remain in truth, that we are going to be made free. In other words, a good change is going to take place if I continue abiding in the truth. I have received truth. I have heard truth. Now I have to abide in truth. And we have to abide knowing that the thief come not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. And the one thing the thief comes to get, or the devil or demons, is the word. The one thing the enemy wants to take or steal from you is the truth or the word. Now, it's not enough to quote the word if you are not walking in the word that you quote. Or you are just simply giving lip service. Now, is it good to quote the word? Yes, but I want to be able to live according to what I quote. It's good to have a favorite scripture, but what good is it if you're not living according to your favorite scripture? Oh, and many of us will say immediately that our favorite scripture is such and such, yet we don't abide in it in times of trouble, adversity, or difficulty. It is good to know that Romans 8 and 28 says that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. But if I get in trouble and I don't believe that trouble is working for me, what good is it to quote Romans 8 and 28? What good is it to give that scripture to a brother or sister, yet I'm not living by it myself? I got trouble that I could be rejoicing in, yet I'm pouting, yet I am depressed. And I don't have expectation for God to bring to pass the promises that he made me. But I can prophesy that he'll bring your promises to pass. The devil is a lie. I believe that God will make all of his word good. But you got to know something about me. I abide in truth. It's a lifestyle for me. And for a lot of church folk, it has gotten to be to the point to where truth is something that they abide in on Sunday. But child of God, you can't just abide in truth on Sunday, because if you do, your world gonna be wrecked on Monday. It's going to be turned upside down until you learn to live according to the truth. Come on here, somebody. Walk by it Sunday to Sunday. Whoa, I know I'm right about it. Some of y'all be real happy from 10:15 to 12:15. But you at church, you surrounded around saints. But you have to learn to hold on to your happiness. You got to learn to hold on to your joy. Come on, somebody. Dealing with a negative supervisor. Dealing with a boss that's tripping. Oh, come on. Have you ever had to just hold on to the truth so that you didn't get out of God's will and say and do what you had no business saying and do? And so understand again that when we are walking according to the truth, then truth is our life. It is our lifestyle. It is our way of living. Again, there is no pretending. There is no phoniness. We are not perfect. But when it comes to truth, I'm genuine about living according to the word. Oh, I wish I would have got more. Amen. But that's all right. I got to keep moving. We're walking according to the truth. We're walking according to the truth. Number one, when we're walking according to the truth, we're walking in a manner corresponding or conforming to the truth. We are walking in a manner that is corresponding or that is conforming to the truth. In other words, my walk is connected to what I'm living by. And I am conforming to truth. Why is that word conforming important? Because it speaks about growth. If you will allow the word of God to conform you, then you are going to grow. Why is growth important? Growth is important so that we learn how to deal with things. There are certain things you don't expect, if you in your right mind, a child to be able to deal with. You expect a child to be childish in certain situations. Am I right about it? You don't tell a four-year-old to handle certain type business because you recognize that their mind is not mature. And so God looks at us as the same way. And if you are not abiding in truth, listen to me, saying it means you're not growing. You're not maturing in God. And there are so many church people who have came to church for years, even some who are faithful at coming, but they're not conforming to truth. They're not being changed by truth. Come on, they're not growing in truth. Truth is something you have to grow in. Watch this, which means I may struggle with something when I'm young, when I'm immature, but if I conform to the truth and I grow up, I'm able to do what I used to. Whoa! That's when some of you still struggling with tithes and offering. You ain't conforming. You ain't growing. Some struggle in loving. Listen, everybody. You still picking and choosing who you gonna be nice to. See, you ain't conforming. You should be mature enough now to be mistreated, yet love the mistreated. Woo! For what reward is it when you are good to those who are good to you? Come on, but when you ain't conforming to truth, when you're not maturing in truth, man, all it takes is for somebody to do you wrong. And you going off. I said, you going off. By going off, that's in a bad way. For some of y'all don't understand what go off mean. We should call it nutting up. You going to nut up every time somebody cross you. Every time somebody don't do you right or do right by you. Come on, you're not conforming. But when you start maturing in God, listen to me, it's amazing what you can handle. Woo! I need to say it like it's in my mind. It's amazing what you can handle without sweating, without. It ain't hard to do it. Stop it. Pastor, I tried it, but it's hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. When you start maturing, you recognize about certain situations that if you should act a certain way, you know immediately, I'm too old for that. Woo! You know what I love about mature folk? When they do wrong, yes, they may need correcting, but when the correction come, a mature person already know, hey, I knew I was going to get this whooping. I was ready for this whooping. You already know what you did wrong. Anybody remember as you grew up just a little bit, when you was young, you used to get whooping, you didn't quite understand what you did. But the older you got, when mama and them were coming with that sweat, you was already repeating what you wasn't going to do no more. Mama, you told me don't go. I went over there, mama, after you told me three times not to go. Mama, I won't go. No. Finally, when you're walking according to truth, it says when it comes to truth again, God's word, God's will, it is that you are harmonious or in agreement with truth. See, when it comes to truth, when it comes to God, the Most High, when it comes to his word, when it comes to his will, I want to be at harmony. I want to be in agreement with God's will. Listen, for my life. I want to be harmonious, on accord with God's word, with his will. Listen, what is this saying? This is saying that I don't want to fight the truth. I don't want to fight God's will. Woo! If it's God's will for me to go through a fiery trial, I don't want to fight that. I want to be in harmony with what God desires for me to go through. You know what amazes me about Daniel? Is even though Daniel knew the other rulers had set him up and tried to find fault in him to have him executed or killed, when they looked like their plan was successful, we never see Daniel fighting, oh, come on, somebody, to get out of trouble. See, most of us, we spend more time fighting out. You're fighting what God sent to battle you. See, you fight truth, but you ain't gonna get to where God wants you to get fighting truth. You have to learn to come in agreement with truth, with the word. Now, let me show y'all why that is so important right there. Go with me to the book of Amos. Go with me to the book of Amos. Woo. Amos is before the book of Obadiah. Uh-huh. It is after the book of Joel. Uh-huh. Yeah, if it sounds like I'm speaking another language to you, then you need to quickly go to your table of contents. Yeah, you start mentioning Amos and Obadiah and Zechariah and Ezekiel, Habakkuk. Say, Pastor, you know them, don't you? I'm sitting here reading them. Amos. The book of Amos. Good teaching this morning. Because we're finna really get into something real. And so I don't want y'all to be offended when I get to dealing with certain stuff. Because you should know by now that when it comes to the truth, everybody is not harmonious or in agreement with truth. Woo! There are some folk in our family that know we've been saved for years, but they are still not in agreement. Listen to me. When it comes to what we walk by. So I may ask you, y'all back in church? Back in church. We've been back. There's a lot going on out here. You back in the bar? Or you back in the club? Come on. Woo! It's amazing what some folk feel is essential. And then they have their list of things that's not quite as essential. So watch this right here. We're talking about being in agreement with truth, right? I don't want to lose y'all. This is too important this morning. Notice Amos 3. You should be done went to the table of contents or you looked it up in your phone. But remember now, Pastor asked us to bring our what? Bibles. And if you're a visitor, by all means, take out the cell phone. But I would like for this church on Sunday mornings to bring your Bible. If you want to look up your phone on your job and so forth, I mean, you want to use your phone, that's fine. But I ask that this congregation bring a Bible to church. Still old school like that. And you say, Pastor, why? See, I want to do whatever I can do to help you to stay focused. And see, one thing I know when I'm telling you to go to scripture, one thing I know about this right here, you ain't going to get no text message from it. You ain't going to get no social media alert. Not from this. But y'all know you can be on that phone and something will pop up. At the moment that your attention needs to be on this, but you're trying to see what they're talking about. Somebody just liked what you posted last night. See, that's foolishness. Get a Bible. Ooh, y'all say, Pastor, sure enough old school. I am. I know technology is good, but I don't think we never need to get away from the pen and paper. It's power in what's written. It's power in books. Paper. All right? Amos 3. Took too long to say that. Amos 3 and 1. Notice this. Now, y'all got to really listen carefully, because we're talking about being in agreement with truth. Truth is God. I'm finna prove it. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying. Now, right there, God letting them know I've been good to y'all. I brought y'all up from the land of Egypt. And now I have a word, watch this, that I'm going to speak against you. God got a problem with his people. Notice verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? See, normally we use it for marriage. We use it for brotherly relationship, and it's okay to do so. But contextually, when God said, can two walk together except they be agreed, he was speaking of himself and his people. He was letting his people know, you can't walk with me if you're not in agreement with me. What caused God to say that they were not in agreement with him? Their lifestyle. Their lifestyle. Notice this again. Notice verse number 2. Woo! You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you. I'm going to deal with you concerning all your iniquities. You are not in agreement with truth. You are walking, you are living contrary to the truth. Notice his words carefully, because they're not my words, and I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you for living contrary to truth. Now, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Now, here he is telling them, I've been good to y'all. Yet now you don't want to be in agreement with truth. Listen, isn't it amazing how some folk get blessed? Woo! And then they want to go against what blessed them. They get the blessings, but stop worshiping the one who blessed them. Oh, yeah, I told you going to get a little tough. See, it's amazing how God's people will turn on him and go against truth or his word. And as it was back then, so it is right now. That you have people that when you look at where God brought them from, you know without doubt that he has been good to them. But now they are walking contrary to truth. Now they're talking against truth. Watch. And for some folk, all it takes for them to do this is a good job or a high promotion. And people start thinking more highly of themselves than they need to. Or a certain bank account. Now I don't need God the way I needed him when I was broke. Ooh, now the business is self-sufficient and it's moving and it's flowing and it's prospering. So now I don't really need to seek God like I used to seek him for a plan and for a strategy. It's amazing. And see, we actually live in a time where people have no problem walking contrary to truth. Listen, I'm not just talking the sinner because I expect the sinner to do it. But I'm talking about lukewarm church folk who no longer want to hear the truth. I'm coming at you. Coming at us. but would rather walk in lies. You know, you have folk like that. They look for a church where the preacher is going to lie to them. Don't deal with my sin. Whoa! In some churches, all they want is a preacher who can sing good, who can raise a hymn, or bring the house down with a song. And they're happy with that. As long as you don't deal with sin. There are some people leave church and they pastor will hoop everything. He hooped the ABCs. And ain't gave the people a word in years. But when folk ask him, what did your pastor do? Man, pastor got to hooping today and actually hooped the ABC. We were so happy up in there. See, listen to me. We don't need no foolishness like that. If you're going to please God, you got to hear the things you do that displease him. And it takes a strong pastor to preach such. And the word that I have for us this morning is that when we look at the overall church in its backsliding condition, where any and everybody is a Christian now without walking according to the truth, the devil is a liar. Folk no longer putting God first, got everything before him, but the preachers are telling them that you okay. You mean I'm okay if I'm worshiping false gods, if I become an idol worshiper and I only want to worship God part-time, I'm all right, Reverend? Yeah, you good. A major Baptist preacher in Atlanta said that he no longer see anything wrong with. Said that since COVID came, he learned to loosen up. And now he don't see nothing wrong with canceling church or not even having church if he want to go to a Falcons game. Just cancel church. Thousands of members. That's idolatry. Says it openly. Any member that stay at his church is walking in lies. Oh, y'all got mad about that. Oh, y'all want to rise up, don't you? But see, watch this. Get in trouble and call the Atlanta Falcons organization. See if they'll help you. See if they'll come to your rescue. Keep putting Netflix before God. Call the Netflix office. That's how folk put Netflix before God. When God tell you to pray, but you too busy. Always caught up in that television, in that iPod, or on that iPhone. See if your new device will save you. See if your iPhone can heal you. See if the internet can bring you out the way that I did. I'm preaching straight up truth. And the main culprit to God's people not walking in truth is phony, pseudo prophets, bishops, pastors, and apostles. Look at Isaiah. See, there's a history here of God's prophets messing up his people. Watch Isaiah. Yeah, I'm dealing with it. Well, the way I see it, a preacher is a preacher. Well, you see it wrong. Look at Isaiah. See, I'm going to stand on the truth. Even if it upset folk, then I'm bringing Bible with me today. I'm bringing Bible with me. You got so many preachers telling folk they okay, but I'm coming to tell you God not pleased with a lot of folk. How they done continued to put things before him. And you're going to see punishment. You're going to see judgment on folk who place something before God. You should never put anything before God. Come on. We should put nothing before God. Now, is a good job important? Yes. having a prosperous business, having money, cars. Ooh, y'all looking at me strange. All those things God gave us to enjoy, but never to put it before him. Hold on. And you know the biggest idol in America? It's not the others. It's not as in the Old Testament with the statues. Come on, somebody. But you can make yourself an idol. Come on. You can worship yourself to the point that where you always caught up in what pleases you. That's what you do. Whatever pleases you. When you should be doing whatever pleases him. But see, the world in its cleverness have taken ideals and made people worship themselves. And when you look at the average person, they are so caught up on themselves. Ooh, so much so that some people can't even go out without. Just all into themselves. Gotta post everything they do. See, listen. And when you out and you see people doing it, what you need to understand this day forward is that not by accident. That is by design. They tell you how to look. They tell you what looks good. And then the silly stupid church folk fall for it and then get to walk it right in. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I know it's tough. God, I got to hear up too. Ooh, y'all could just see the faces out here. Isaiah 9. Yeah. Ooh, I wish you could see the faces. Yeah, this is the day I need a camera up here just scrolling throughout the sanctuary. Some of y'all straighten up then, you be like, oh. You can put your husband before God. Because I would do right, but my husband. Isaiah 3. Woo. Isaiah 9. Lord have mercy. Y'all hanging there. Y'all on it. Y'all like, no, Pastor. Isaiah 9:15. Y'all got to listen carefully. The elder and the honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. Isn't it amazing how prophets and preachers lie to folk, but we got them as the head? You buy all their books. You listen to them as if they're the head. But God just told you the prophet who teaches lies. This is what he said. He is the tail. He is the tail. Woo! He's the tail. He's the problem. Verse 16, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Look at here. God said, it's my leaders who are causing my people to err. Number one, to sin. You have preachers who are causing people to sin. Because they're teaching the people that what they're doing, nothing is wrong with it. And so the people are indulging in sin, thinking that the preacher is right, but they're walking in lies. Do you see it? Cause my people to go astray. Watch what the Bible said, not what Pastor Cocker said. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Then tells us, as more as you see the day approaching, we should do so more. But listen, how many preachers are telling folk that it's okay if you don't do the church thing no more? Well, you know, we fell out with the church thing when COVID came. So we just never went back to doing the church thing. But see, when you call it a church thing, you belittle the truth. See, if you really think or know that God is all knowing, then before he had the Holy Ghost inspired the writer to say that we should never forsake the assembly of ourselves together, then God knew about COVID. God knew about wars. God knew about diseases. Come on. He knew about the pandemic or the plandemic. A lot of you never heard of the plandemic. Look at Jeremiah 14. See, some things are orchestrated to create confusion, but those who create the confusion are not confused. Oh, you'll get that later on. Let's do something that'll cause folks to walk in lies. Come on, we're finna read a lot right here in Jeremiah 14. Y'all be patient, okay? We almost coming to the end. Be patient. Jeremiah 14, verse number 11. We need scripture too. And I'm going to say this, and I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. Now you have preachers that get up before God's people and don't even preach according to scripture. When a preacher preaches consistently and never goes to the Bible, something not right with that preacher. Though it's time consuming, we need it. You know, some of these churches hire preaching. They tell them, look, you got 15, 20 minutes. But look, don't talk about this and don't talk about that. 15, 20 minutes. And I know some of you think 55-minute message is long. But you know, I done got onto you before about that. I have. I done got onto you and chastised you real good if you didn't know it. You should never call a 55-minute message long. And you have no problem watching 2.5-hour movies. You speak like a fool. Now, if I preach for 2.5 hours and stay in the word, I mean, if I can stay in the word and under the anointing, I'm not going to do it. You should leave here saying it was good. Because you're sitting in the mood, and when 2.5 hours up, you sitting there, oh, that's how they end it. Oh, man, what you want, 4 hours? See how we looking? It's the truth. Some of y'all indulge in things. Whether it be golf, sports, shopping. How many women can shop over 55 minutes? Hold on, don't put your hand up yet. In one store. How many women can spend an hour in one store? I ain't going to leave my brothers out. Brother, put your hand up. You can stay in the store 1 hour. Oh, have mercy. Now, do you walk in your favorite store? Look, I got 55 minutes. No, you just be scrolling and just enjoying your little old self. But that which is of the utmost importance, we impatient. Teaching takes time. Because when you're teaching, you are instilling. You're not just saying. But you're discerning as you teach that the people are receiving an understanding. Any formal teachers in here, I'm just talking educational. If you were really serious about what you did, you didn't just teach and say, but you looked at your students to make sure that they were receiving an understanding. And sometimes by expressions, you knew to step back and go back over something. Come on. But somebody just doing it to get paid, they just going to throw it out there. Hey, it is what it is. I don't do that. Jeremiah 14. And I'm actually making good time today, believe it or not. Jeremiah 14 and 11. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people. Well, Pastor, I'm just praying for them. You're going to have to recognize God going to get so upset with certain folk. And he's going to be so done with them that he's going to say to you, don't pray for them. I'm finna show you that this Bible. Some of y'all, well, God always want us to pray for folk. Okay, let's read verse 11 again then. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people. Is he talking to Jeremiah, the true prophet? He don't pray for these folk. Do not pray for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. Do you see this? That means when they fast, God said, I ain't studying what they doing. Well, I don't think God can get upset with people. Are you listening? Imagine fasting and God done decided about you enough. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, woo, God upset. I will not accept them. I ain't even going to receive their offerings. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then I say, oh, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see sword. You shall not have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. You see that? It's just like when I'm preaching and folks will say, I'm a hard preacher. And they'll say, none of that stuff that pastor is saying is going to happen to people. See, you got folk lying to people, church. And I'm coming here today telling you, God is upset with people who have put things before him. He is very upset. And is about to show some his anger. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies. Notice how they lie to the people in my name. These prophets are so bold, church, that they're not afraid to lie and use God's name. I have not sent them, commanded them, watch this, nor spoken to them. But you know, when the false prophets speak, they always say, God said. God showed me. But here God saying, I have not spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus said the Lord concerning the prophet who prophesied in my name, watch this, whom I did not send, who say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them. Them nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness upon them. See, they got out of truth. But it's always false preachers who will try to make folk comfortable in their sin. Go to 2 Peter. And let me tell you, as you turn to 2 Peter, you better be careful when you know you in sin, when you know you out of truth, and you have somebody trying to make you be at peace in your mess. As you turn to 2 Peter, just look at somebody and tell, when we mess up, we shouldn't be at peace or get comfortable in our mess. Y'all didn't mind saying in our mess. Whenever you can do wrong and it doesn't bother you, something is wrong with you. Come on, back to my example earlier. If you can mistreat your brother and your sister and sleep good at night, don't nothing bother you, something wrong with you. Because I'm going to tell you, if I'm in error, I don't want to be at peace. Woo, I say, I don't want to be at peace. I want God to deal with me. Show me my ways. Reveal my sin to me. Show me my iniquity. Give me a preacher that'll cry loud and spare not, that'll lift up his voice like a trumpet. And God says, show my people their sin. It's a shame when people start taking God for granted. Second Peter. Something wrong with a person that is faithful when they single and then get married and hardly come to church. What did marriage do to you? Second Peter, it's quiet in the house. Now y'all see what I mean about hooping? How you gonna hoop something like this? Come on. 2 Peter 2. When you know you got folk mad. It's a part of it. I know folks are cringing in their seats right now. Because God dealing with people. You ain't got so important now. Woo! You have to watch yourself when you get so important. 2 Peter 2. Watch this. I'm almost done with this walking contrary to the truth. This is the last scripture, y'all, and then we're going to be in the close. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. But there were also false prophets among them. Listen. Even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Do y'all see this? Look here real carefully. And many will follow their destructive ways. Why are we surprised that many are turning back? See, the Bible has already forewarned us that when the false teachers get to spewing their falsehood, that many in the church are going to follow their, notice what the Bible describes it, their destructive ways. Watch this. Because of whom, watch this, the way of truth will be blasphemed. See, the blaspheme is to speak against what is holy and sacred. Listen. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Bible has warned that if any man blaspheme a woman against the Holy Ghost, there is no forgiveness in this life nor the life to come. Now watch in our day and time how pseudo-Christians and the world blaspheme holy things. Look how they mock the cross. Look how they talk or speak about the church, which is God's church. They blaspheme things that are holy, that are sacred. Which means that we are holy to God. You have to be careful when you put your mouth on God's people and speak against somebody who's striving to walk in truth. Come on. But this is the world we live in. We see artists who don't have no problem on their covers having themselves on a cross and dressed whorish and on a cross, marking the cross. And saints, some saints are saying, oh, ain't nothing wrong with it. They're speaking against what is holy. But tell you that we don't want to be such. Look at somebody else saying, we don't want to be such. And tell your neighbor, I'm determined not to walk in lies. But tell that person, if it be true, I am determined to walk according to truth. Let's close in 3 John and we're done. We are determined to walk according to truth. Let's look at that and then let's get out of here. What does it mean to walk according to the truth? Again, notice that it's a manner corresponding or conforming to truth. And notice what the elder says in verse number 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Notice the elder, the older, the age. Ranks the Apostle John, rank his office. He's a ruler of the people, but more than that, he is a mature one. Now notice verse 3 said, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. This is why I want the church to understand. Please listen to me. On every eye on me. Listen to me. If we are really walking according to the truth, it has to be verified through bona fide believers. You can't just of yourself say that you're walking in truth. It has to be verified through bona fide witnesses that you are doing such. Notice when it came to Gaia, the brethren reported to the apostle that he is walking in truth. This is the reason 1 Thessalonians 5 teaches us to know them that labor. See, if you're really walking in truth the way you should be, your brothers and your sisters going to know it. They're going to know it. Do you hear me? They're going to know it. God is going to make sure that the spirit which abides in you is in agreement with the spirit that abides in your brother and your sister. Come on, because that's the problem in the church. You got folks saying they walking in truth, but who's verifying your walk? Where are, listen, the bona fide witnesses? Where are the legit witnesses? You can get a fool to say anything. You can get your friend to co-sign on anything. But it has to be a bona fide witness. And this is what's wrong with the church right now. People just want to go off what they say. No. Know them who labor among you. When it comes to me, your pastor, don't just know that I preach truth. But you have to know that I live the truth that I preach. You've been around here long enough. And you say, well, pastor, I'm still trying to discern. You've been here 2 years or more. You still trying to discern if I'm walking in what I'm preaching? Come on. Come on. Why is this important? And I also need to know. Come on. And see, your lifestyle is going to bear witness if you are walking in the truth. The way you act on your job should verify that you're walking in truth. How do you handle yourself on your job? How do you handle yourself in public? How do you handle yourself in home, in your private settings? Are you different than your public? See, they verify what he was walking in. Are y'all listening to me? This is what makes the church so great, that our spirit bears witness with one another, that we are sons of God. Listen, he had to verify it. And notice what he said. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He was so pleased. Why? He had the heart of God. When he heard that Gaius and the brethren were walking in truth, he was so pleased. Which caused him in the earlier verses to decree a blessing over this man. And see, that's what we need to leave here with today, knowing that anytime you're walking according to truth, God gonna make sure that you prosper in all things. He gonna take care of you. Nobody's gonna walk continually in truth and God not bless them. He said you're gonna prosper in health even as your soul does prosper. You're gonna be physically healthy. You're gonna be spiritually healthy. God gonna help you in every single aspect of your life. And listen, because I know that I walk in truth and it is verified through bona fide witnesses. Saints, I am prospering in every aspect of my life. Do that mean trouble free? Do that mean trial free? Certainly not. But listen, there's no way you're going to continue to abide in truth and God not bless you and he not prosper you. That's when he started the service off telling us that help was coming. Resources were coming. Favor was showing up. But if we let people get us out of the truth, then you are hindering your own prosperity and the thing that God desires to do in your life. Let's continue, saints, to walk according to truth. Amen. Let's give God a praise. I'm finished.
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.